Is your hope in the Lord tonight? Aren't you glad your hope's not in government? In politics? Hope's in the Lord. Would you turn to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, beyond the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. We're also going to go over into Paul's writing, Philippians chapter 4, and read there one verse to begin tonight. Praise God. Could you stand for the reading of God's Word? This is a portion of Jesus' teaching that each one of us can truly profit from. Let's pause and pray. Father, in our time in your Word tonight, make it a profitable time. Lord, you know how to speak to everybody that is gathered here tonight, Lord, every age group, Lord, every situation and problem. Lord, you've been talking to us all through this service. Help us to continue to hear your voice. And I just pray for your anointing and your help in teaching what you've already spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. Beyond the Beatitudes. I turn to Philippians because Paul said this. It's so important to what we're going to share tonight. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Be careful. That's a way of saying don't be filled with care. Don't be filled with anxiety. Now, I read this from Paul because though it's translated differently in Jesus' sermon, it's the exact same word that Jesus consistently used in the portion of Scripture we're going to look at tonight. So you've got to keep that in mind. Paul said, be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care. Same word that Jesus used, translated a little different. Let's read what Jesus said. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. In other words, be not careful for your life. We'll look at the rest of the verse later on tonight. Verse 27, here he says it again. Which of you by taking thought, and then same word, don't be careful. Verse 28, why take ye thought? Why are you careful about raiment? Why are you filled with anxiety? Verse 31, therefore take no thought. Don't be careful for it. Don't be filled with anxiety. Verse 34, Jesus is the one that kept repeating this. Here it is. Take therefore no thought. Don't be careful about tomorrow. Don't be filled with anxiety. So I want to teach this segment tonight of Jesus' sermon. I want to entitle it, Careless in God's Care. Careless in God's Care. Maybe to help us tonight, we could put it this way, carefree in God's care. You can be seated. Did you know that anxiety is the number one cause of mental illness in America? Anxiety. People are filled with anxiety, nervousness. And that, for the believer, ought to be taken with this. How many believes it's true that God doesn't want us to be filled with anxiety? We've already got that tonight. God wants us to have a carefree spirit, attitude, free from anxiety, free from worry. Now, I've already used the word care tonight a whole lot. Did you know the word care is very interesting? It can have opposite meanings. You know, I was raised down south, the Southwest. I move up here north, real close to Yankee territory. And we said things differently. And pretty soon I get confused how it was when I grew up and how it is here. But sometimes it was completely opposite. Let me give an example. Hey, would you like to go out and eat tonight? Okay, down south, I don't care to. Up north, I don't care to. It means completely different things. And since then, I've got confused which it means. But one place you say, well, I don't care to, that means I don't want to. The other place you say, I don't care to, that means, oh, that's okay, no bother. Yeah, let's do that. Completely opposite. Let me give you another example how interesting this word care is. He is careless. That can mean he's reckless. Or it can mean he doesn't have a care in the world. He's worry-free. Two different meanings. Jesus meant, and that's how we're using it, we should be careless, we should be free from care. Jesus uses the words, take no thought. That means do not be anxious. Now, there's a lot of ways we could define anxious tonight, but let me just define it this way. To be anxious is to have a fearful uneasiness over your future. If you're anxious tonight, you have a fearful uneasiness over the future. Now look, we're all in this together. We're here tonight. How many of us would be willing to admit we Christians too often are too anxious about too many things? We worry about too many things, especially considering the God that we have, considering the hope that we have, considering the knowledge that we have. Now, I want to tell you something if you're here tonight. Listen to me. If you're doing wrong, if you're not right with God, you have every reason to be anxious, concerned, and worried. But if your heart, how many knows God arranged the whole theme of this service around this tonight? Right? If your heart's right with God, you have no cause to be anxious. Did you know billions are spent every year trying to get people rid of anxiety? And you know what that anxiety really is? It's a conviction of God because their hearts aren't right with the Lord. You might remember last week, Jesus in his sermon, we ended with this verse, no man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Then in the next verse, verse 25, Jesus says, therefore take no thought for your life, what you shall eat and what you shall... How do those two things fit together? Because if you're after... Now remember, mammon is money that represents all of this world. If you're after the things of the things of the world is your master, and you'll be filled with anxiety and worry. It'll fill you with unease. But if your master is God and not the world, you don't have to be filled with anxiety and worry and care, because you can know if your master is God, he's going to take care of it. Isn't it a relief to know your master is God? That means we are his responsibility and not even our own. Now, look, I'm going to get into Jesus' words in just a moment and move at a quick pace. But let's talk just a little bit more about care. Let me tell you something, and I want you to think about this. I'm not just trying to be rhetorical or wordy. I want you to think about it. You care about what you care about. You care about what you care about. You are anxious about what you're interested in. If you care about the things of the world, you will be anxious over the things of the world. You know, I don't get very anxious on how the Reds are doing. You know why I don't care? It's because I don't care. You care about what you care about. That works with everything but God. Because if you care about God, you don't have to be filled with anxiety, because he will take care of you. You care about God, he will take care of you. You don't need to be anxious. What do you really care about tonight? What are you interested in? What do you value? What do you seek after? Where is your affection and attention? No man can serve two masters. If you're after this world, you have every reason to care, be concerned, anxious. But if God is your master, take no thought for your life. You don't have to be caring for it. He'll take care of it. Now, I've made this statement sometimes. You'll say, well, you know, I know this person. They never have any anxiety. They must really have the peace of God. They're never worried about anything. They got the peace of God. Brother Bill, I concluded a long time ago, some people don't have the peace of God. They're just too lazy to care about anything. How many's ever noticed that? I'm not talking about that tonight. But what I'm talking about is we get caught in a trap. The care here means to suffer in the mind because of the turmoil, the apprehension, the troubling thoughts that you're at. God doesn't want us to suffer like that. He doesn't want us to have that trouble, that turmoil. And we're going to see in Jesus' words tonight, he's given us reasons we don't have to have anxiety. And he's given us principles to deal with it. And we're going to look at those quickly tonight. First of all, Jesus gives us the rule of not caring and being anxious. It's a rule. He gave us this rule. Don't do it. Look at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Don't be anxious what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? In other words, Jesus said, here's the rule. If you're serving God, if you're loving God, if you're following God, stop the anxiety. Stop the worry. Stop the troubling thoughts about the future. You're going to be taken care of. That's the rule. In other words, you don't have to worry because He's got it covered. He's got your back. Take no thought. Now, this doesn't mean, it says take no thought for what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. How many took some thought about what you're going to wear to church tonight? And we're all grateful. We really are. And I know you took thought about what you was going to eat. Right? So what is he saying? Well, it doesn't mean you don't have to work to get the money to buy the food or to buy the clothes for yourself or your family. It doesn't mean you don't plan your meals or go shopping to the grocery store so there's food or go get your kids and buy clothes for your kids. But it does mean you're not anxious and troubled in your mind whether or not there's going to be food tomorrow or be clothes tomorrow or be food and clothes next month. You can be filled with anxiety about that. In other words, you're wondering if God's really going to take care of you. Jesus said, here's the rule, don't be like that. But there's a little more to it than that. Remember, the thing that set the tone for everything Jesus said is no man can serve two masters. You'll either be after mammon or you'll be after God. You'll either be after the world, you'll be after God. So how does this fit? When Jesus says, take no thought what you shall eat or what you shall wear, he's talking about not just necessity, though that's a part of it. He's talking about people that become obsessed about what they're going to eat. Oh, we got to try that new restaurant. We got to try that new thing. Nothing wrong with that. He's talking about people that are obsessed with it. That's what life is to them. The next new restaurant, the next new type of food to try. Not just about whether you have clothes or not, but you're after the last fashionable thing. Oh, I've got to have that because it's new. That's the new fashion. It's in vogue, or so-and-so's wearing it. See, if you're after those things that way, it's because mammon is your master and not God. That sets the context of all of this. So it's not, am I going to have anything to eat or wear, but am I going to be able to go to that wonderful new restaurant? Am I going to be able to be fashionable? Am I going to be able to fit in my fashions? And Jesus makes a statement that's so important. Isn't your life more than meat and your body than raiment? And that fits both scenarios I gave you. Listen, we got to eat. We've got to be clothed. But you can have your belly full tonight, and you can have on the best of clothes. And if your heart's unsettled, that's not life. Right? And it fits the other scenarios. You know, life has become that. You know, I'm so amazed. I know I mentioned this before because I'm so struck by it. I think the post on Facebook really makes me aware of this. To some people, by their post, their whole life is to take pictures of what entree they're having at what restaurant. Is not life more than meat? And you know, other folks, look, we need to look nice. We don't need to look like we came out of the 1930s. But some people, it's all about name brand. I mean, you can have everything name brand, the most expensive, the highest of the line. Is that really life to you? How many knows life is more than name brands? Oh, how many's really found that life? See, that takes the worry away. See, you care about those things because you care about those things. You're anxious about them because you're interested in them. So that's the rule. Let's look at the reasons for not caring. First of all, he gives us an example. He says in verse 26, this has already been mentioned tonight, but he said, take for an example the birds of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, but your heavenly Father feedeth them. We should be getting shouting about now. Are you not much better than they? Hallelujah. So what are some reasons of not worrying? Well, first of all, we're in God's care. Look, we almost missed this. He gives the examples of the birds, and he says, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? In other words, if he feeds the birds, he's going to feed you. But it's more than that. It didn't just say he'd provide the food. It says he would feed you. That means you're under his care. We don't have to be full of anxiety because we're under God's care. Here's another use of that word care. Care means to take the responsibility for the health and the safety and the well-being of another. God cares for us. He has taken the responsibility of our safety and our well-being and our health. He's taken, you know, right when I was writing that, we are in God's care. I looked in my study at home. I looked and I got a bird feeder hanging in the window. And I just stared out there for just a few minutes. And there was the tufted titmouses that came and the chickadees and the red finches and the yellow finches. And there was a woodpecker and there was a sparrow. All these birds eating in my feeder. I fed them. But you know what? If I hadn't had that bird feeder there, not one of those birds would have went hungry. God would have fed them. Or let me be real spiritual. God used me to feed them. But you know what I noticed about those birds? Every one of them was singing without a care in the world. We don't have to be full of anxiety. We are in God's care. It's great when we got a good physician, we're in his care. It's good to have good spiritual leaders to be in their care, good parents to be in their care. But ultimately, we are in God's care. And then here's another reason we don't have to be full of care and worry. We are more valuable than the birds. We're more valuable than the birds. Are you not much better than they? You know, this is where my title came from, because as I heard those birds sing, I thought to myself, those birds are careless in God's care. They are carefree because they're in God's care. Now look. Those birds, let me tell you why the birds are so happy. They let God choose for them. Think about that. Those birds were happy because they let God choose for them. You know how you can be happy and not full of anxiety and worry? Let God make your choices. Anybody hear me? And God is concerned because you're more valuable than many sparrows. Amen. Let me give you another reason. We don't have to be full of care. It's because we cannot change some things anyway. Look what Jesus says in verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? You know, sometimes when you're a young man and you're in adolescence, you want to be tall. But I want to tell you, if that's you and you're wanting to be tall, you can go look in the mirror tonight and you can will yourself to grow. Oh, I want to be taller. You can even put a black permanent marker up where you want to be in your image. And you can stand there and you can will and you can think and you can try. And guess what? You're not going to get any taller. Now, you may grow as an adolescent, so now you've grown, you've got your growth in. If you're 25 or 30, unless there's something wrong with you, I just read this week of a man that's never quit growing. He's getting close to 8 foot, and he was 30 years old, something like he's never quit growing. But that's a problem. I mean, there's something wrong. But in the normalcy of things, when you reach your height, you can't be any taller. And Jesus is using as an illustration that there are some things we cannot change. How many has found that we spend a lot of our time worrying, full of anxiety, about things we cannot change? But let me give you a little thing here. Some things we can't change, God can. Amen? Amen. Here's another reason we don't have to be full of care. We have the attention of God. We have his attention. Here's where Jesus gives us the second example, verse 28. And why take you thought? Why are you full of care? Why do you worry over clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. In other words, you can have millions of dollars to buy the best of material, the best of garments, and you'll never dress yourself as beautifully as the flowers. And this time of year, we see that. I mean, the brilliance of the flowers. But here's where it's at, verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed, he dressed these flowers. If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? It didn't say that he just provided the clothing for the grass. It says he clothed it. He dressed them. You mothers know, if you have little children, part of your care for them is you dress them. They don't even dress themselves. You dress them. And to do so, and you do so, because you pay attention to them. I'm telling you what, think of it this way, because every flower you see this spring, God just dressed it in those colors. And Jesus said, tomorrow they're going to be wilted and gone. But God cared about it for that moment and that time. Don't you think God gives us the same attention and more that he gives the flowers? Think about that. Don't make this theoretic tonight. Think about it. Yes, you. God gives you attention. If you could only accept it and realize it. You don't need to worry because you have God's attention. Even, you know, there's been times, you know, and every kid goes through this, I'm sure, but our kids, when they were young, they'd get to fussing about something. Maybe they needed a certain clothing item for school and we haven't got it yet. Or maybe they need a certain school supplies and we hadn't got them yet. Or maybe we're about to run out of cereal. And I think we went through six boxes this week and we only got one kid at home. But we'd be about to run out of cereal. And kids get to worry about it. Oh, we need cereal. We need cereal. They're like, you know, we're entering the Great Depression. Or, oh, we don't have the supplies. We got to have that. We got to have it. And I would say to my kids, wait a minute, wait a minute. Look at me. Has mom and dad ever failed to get you your school supplies? No. Has mom and dad ever let you go hungry? No. Has mom and dad ever let you walk out the door in your pajamas without anything to wear to school? No. We're going to take care of you. But they were worried about it. How many times do we do God the same way? Oh, God, I got to have this. God, oh, God, about out of cereal. God, I don't have a thing to wear. And we're all, and you know, if we'd listen to what God's saying, I ever let you go hungry? Have I ever left you alone? Have I ever left you without what you needed? Oh, here's what's exciting. God gives attention to the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow's cast into. If God gives so much attention to grass that is temporal, think what type of attention he's going to give us who are eternal. Last of all tonight, here's some regulations Jesus gives for not caring and being anxious. First of all, these are guidelines, regulations. First of all, don't preoccupy yourself with things God has promised to provide. He's promised some things. We don't have to worry about them. Look at verse 31. Therefore, take no thought. He's summarizing. Take no thought. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Because he's promised to provide those things. And like I just said, so many times I'd say to my kids, you don't have to worry about that. Dad and mom will make sure you have it. There's no need to worry about it. We get so occupied what we've not yet got from God that we fail to see what he's currently giving us. Think about that. We get so preoccupied with what we've not yet got from God, we miss what he has currently given us. So if you want to be free from anxiety, don't be preoccupied with things God has promised to provide. Secondly, listen, here it comes together. If you want to be free from anxiety and care and worry, don't seek after the things that unbelievers seek after. If we get down to it, so much of our worry and fret and anxiety is we're seeking after the same things those that have no faith in God seek after. Look what it says, verse 32. For after all those things do the Gentiles seek. And this lets me know, yes, it includes food and clothing for the necessities of life. But this lets me know it's also talking about the fashionable clothes, the best of food. They're into that. After all these things, do the Gentiles. Let me just, can I preach for 15 seconds here? Isn't there something wrong with the so-called people of God when they're seeking the same things the Gentiles are seeking? Wouldn't that be a question to ask myself tonight? Do I seek after the same things the unbeliever seeks after? Jesus said, don't do it. That's why there's concern. That's why there's turmoil. He said, I don't have any turmoil tonight, and I'm sick. You don't yet, but you will. It happens every time. You seek the things the Gentiles seek, and you'll have the same worries and turmoil and anxieties they have. But look what he says. For your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of all these things. If you choose God as your master, you will not be seeking what the world seeks. Thus, you will not be worried about the things the world are worried about. You know, in the end, they worry because they do not know God. And they have no hope that he's going to provide what they need. Even they don't know how he works. But we know God. We know how he works. And he's got a track record right here that says he's never forsaken his people. He's been faithful. When I'm seeking the things of the world, I don't have this hope. But when I'm seeking God, I have this hope. What's another regulation for not having worry and anxiety? Don't seek anything before you seek God first. I keep coming and coming to this verse more and more in pastoral counseling and things. I think this is the secret. This is it. Prioritize our lives. Here it is. You all could quote it, perhaps. In fact, why don't you just read it with me? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't worry. Don't be filled with anxiety. Don't seek what the world seeks. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you choose God as master, you will seek first the kingdom. And I know I pointed this out, and I'm just about done, but let's rivet our minds on this. This is so important. I pointed this out before, but I want to once again. Notice what this verse does not say. It does not say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then seek those other things. Does it read that way? Look it over with me. Does it read, seek first the kingdom of God, and then seek those other things? What does it say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What a promise. Put God first in your life. Put God first in your day. Put God first in your attention. Put God first in your affection. And you won't have to worry about those other things. God will give them to you as you need them. Hallelujah. Isn't that a recipe for a worry-free existence? Seek first. Now, here's the question tonight. Are you seeking first the kingdom? Is that your priority? The kingdom of God? Last of all, be worry-free, anxiety-free. Don't let worry about tomorrow blind you to what God is doing today. Don't let worry about tomorrow blind you to what God is doing today. Here it is. One more time, Jesus says, don't worry. Don't be full of care. Take therefore, verse 34, no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto day is the evil thereof. Now, careful here. This is not saying don't plan. This is not saying don't prepare, whether it's for your old age or whether it's for winter or whatever. There's too many scriptures that tell us we need to plan, we need to prepare, we need to take precautions. It's saying don't worry about tomorrow because God will make sure you have what you need. But it's saying more than that. It's saying you've got enough bad things to deal with today without adding the bad things of tomorrow. I mean, if anything, the Bible's realistic, and that's what it's saying, Brother Bill. You've already got enough to deal with today, and now you're going to add tomorrow's troubles and the next day's trouble and next month's troubles to that? No, you've got enough to deal with. But listen, only deal with what you're dealing with today. God will provide. And tomorrow, you deal with what you need to deal with tomorrow, and God will provide. And then Friday, you deal with what you need to deal with, and God will provide. But don't try to deal with tomorrow's troubles today, because you'll miss. You'll be so consumed about what you got to face Friday and Saturday, you'll miss what God wants to do on a Wednesday night in the altar in your life and for your heart. You know, this is probably a shot in the dark, but I was just going to use it as an illustration. There have been probably some that have got nothing out of the Bible teaching tonight because you were already consumed and preoccupied with something about tomorrow. You totally missed what God would say in this service, preoccupied about tomorrow. Sufficient unto today is the evil thereof. Let God provide today. This made me think, reading Deuteronomy right now, listen to what the scripture said. Go ahead and come, music. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Here it is. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. As thy days, so shall thy strength. Boy, you're going to have big trouble tomorrow. I'm not prophesying. This is an illustration. You're going to have big trouble tomorrow. And so will God give you strength for that trouble. I'm not making all this up, but you got 5 kilograms of trouble tomorrow. Don't you feel encouraged? That's what I'm here for. 5 kilograms of trouble tomorrow. Guess what? God's got 5 kilograms of provision tomorrow. And Brother Cruz, on Friday, it's going to be at worse. You're going to have 10 kilograms of trouble. But God's got 10 kilograms of grace. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Sometimes, I'm closing, but sometimes my mind goes to really unexpected places to bring this all together. Let me tell you where my mind went for the place in Scripture to bring this all together. Do you remember when the children of Israel were out in the wilderness? That's desert. Not much corn grows out there. Not many apple orchards out there. They're out of food. Went to God. Guess what? God said, tomorrow there'll be food when you come out of your tent. They came out of their tent the next morning. Guess what? There was bread lying all over the ground. Tasted like honey. Gathered it up. But Moses gave some instructions. He said, now when you go out to get that bread, you gather just enough bread for you and your family for that day. Don't try to gather more than what you're going to need that day. Don't try to gather enough for the next day or two. But as usual, how many found that people don't always do what God says? Scripture says some of them decided they would see. And they said, well, you know, this ought to be enough for today, but, you know, I think I'll sleep in the morning. By the way, if you didn't get it a certain time, it melted. I'm going to sleep in the morning, so I'm just going to gather up enough for tomorrow, too. And they did. And they put it on the shelf in a little pot. And on the following day, they got up for breakfast, and they put the toaster out, plugged it in. They reached in the jar and got them a piece of manna, pulled it out, and as they're about to drop it in the toaster slot, it was crawling with worms. Have you ever thought why God did it that way? Well, you could say he's trying to keep them from being lazy and sleeping in, maybe. But I think he was already teaching the lesson that Jesus was going to emphasize with this sermon. You get the manna for today that you need for today, and you get the manna for tomorrow that you're going to need tomorrow. Oh, I wish sometimes it worked the other way. I wish on Sunday we could just, have such a touch of God that it'll just do us good all week. Are you hearing me tonight? But you know what? You could have had a wonderful time in the Lord this morning. And I'm not saying it doesn't have any lasting residue effect, but I want to tell you, you need time with the Lord tomorrow morning. You might have read your Bible and had a great illumination today, but you need your Bible tomorrow. And you know what you're going to find? As faithful as he was to the children of Israel, if tomorrow you'll go out the door of your tent, so to speak, there's going to be manna from heaven. And you know what the scripture says? For the 40 years they wandered in the wilderness, Every day there was manna. And I didn't mention the exception, but to keep the Sabbath day holy, one day of the week they had to get, and this isn't part of it, but they had to get 2 days' worth on the Sabbath day. And on that day, the bread for the Sabbath day didn't get worms in it because they were honoring the Sabbath. Ooh. If I was one of these preachers that chased rabbits, I'd add right there, part of seeking first the kingdom of God is remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And maybe you're running out of manna because you aren't keeping the Sabbath day holy. Amen. But how many's glad he'll provide manna every day? Every day. Amen. Some may not have collected your manna for today. Good news, you got another opportunity. You can come to this altar and collect today's manna for yourself. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Where could I go but to the when my soul needs manna from above? Would you stand? Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your people. Thank you, Lord, for their attentive ear and hearts tonight. Bring us to that place of worry-free, care-free in the care of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Could we come and do some manna collecting tonight? Would you like to come and spend time in prayer? Amen. Amen. Let's come and pray tonight. And tomorrow there'll be manna too. And Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there'll be manna. Sufficient unto day is the evil thereof. God will have the manna there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.